Hello, my friends, and welcome to another episode of Unlimited. Today, we are kicking off a series all about productivity, specifically related to motivation and time management, two of the areas that I am most frequently asked about or engaged to support around. So I thought, well, let's talk about that. Let's start first and foremost with an episode about the myths around productivity, because a big part of the work that I end up doing with clients isn't actually about getting more motivated and managing your time better. It is around deprogramming some of the stories that we have internalized related to productivity that are killing your motivation and draining your time, because that is ultimately where it starts. It starts with these stories that we are surrounded by that are, I mean, there's, I would say, infecting our experience of life and also the way that we show up to life, and not just as individuals, but as a community, because it's such a part of our social framework and the way that we judge ourselves, the way that we judge other people, the way that our systems are structured, the reward systems and the punishment systems and all of that. So today we're going to start with the myth busting part. We are going to be digging into understanding productivity. Like, what is this word that we keep using that we often have stories around that we don't even realize we have stories around? Myths around motivation, lies about time management, and how to actually do what you actually want to do. Because again, that's what a lot of people come to me asking for and for support around is, I want to do these things and I keep not doing these things. I'm having resistance to doing these things. I want to be more motivated. I need to be more focused. I want somebody to tell me the right things to do. I want to be better organized. I think I have a discipline issue and I need more self-control. I know that consistency is key and I'm not doing it. And I keep making excuses. All of these are stories that we tell ourselves. Now, does that mean that they're lies? Does that mean that they're not happening? No. What it does mean is that they're rooted in some underlying belief systems and some underlying stories that we don't see from the surface that are actually the things that are pulling the energy, that are draining your energy, that are distracting you, that are keeping you from living life the way that you are feeling called to live, to being able to play fully in your body, in the moment, be present, because that's usually the other component that people are asking for is like, I want to be more present. I want to enjoy life. I want to have fun, but I also want to do these things. And if I can just do these things, then I can have the fun and all of these other stuff. And it gets really muddled. And the block that is disconnecting those are those stories that we are going to bust in this episode. So without further ado, let's get started. Hey there, I'm Valerie Friedlander, certified life business alignment coach, and this is Unlimited. This podcast bridges the individual and the societal, scientific and spiritual, positive and negative, nerdy and, no, there's just a lot of nerdy. Come on board and let's unlock a life that's as badass as you are. Interestingly enough, I was kind of resistant to doing this series. I've known that I wanted to do it for a while because it is a big part of what people come to me about, because they say, they're like, I want to do this thing, or I want to have this life, and I'm not doing the things to get it, or I'm not doing the things that I say I want to do, and I don't know why. I feel stuck and I'm frustrated with myself, that I'm making excuses, I'm not being as productive, I'm not consistent like I'm supposed to be. All of this stuff that we tell ourselves. I should be more focused. I'm not doing the right things, or I don't know what the right things are. Somebody needs to tell me the right things. If I was just better organized, if I were more disciplined, I need better self-control. I keep making excuses. A lot of these things, while there's some truth in them to a certain extent, because they are what we are taught, the words that we're taught represent what's happening, there are things that we're constantly fed of the shoulds that we are supposed to be doing in order to have what we want. And it's actually the underlying stories that are holding us back from doing the things or having the things or even knowing what those things are. So part of my resistance, I think, is because there are so many nuances to this topic, to the topic of productivity, to what is motivation, what is time management, what works for people. And my responsibility as a coach isn't about giving you tips and tools and tricks and telling you what to do, being one more person who's like, well, just do it this way and it'll work. That's not what I'm here to do. What I'm here to do is help you find what works for you. Now, sometimes it helps to have ideas to pull from, but because we're fed so much, like, we'll just do it like this, and if this isn't working, something's wrong with you, and I did it, so you can do it too, and it just doesn't take into consideration the multitude of reasons and dynamics that exist in a person's life. So in some ways, it was a little overwhelming to try and tackle it in a way that I felt aligned with. At the same time, I've had things happening in my personal life. We lost my cat of 16 years. He was 17. And while it wasn't a huge surprise, it happened rather suddenly and was very upsetting and still is. I miss him dearly. And we don't make space for emotions in our society. We're taught that emotions aren't really valuable to make space for because they're not productive. Now, that was another reason why, you know, I wasn't ready to do this series. It wasn't time yet. But oftentimes we think we need to do things off of the cues of other people or what we've been told we should talk about and all of that. So I start with this because I want you to know that even though this is my work and what I support people with, it's stuff that impacts me too. The social stories have absolutely impacted me. They come up for me too. It's a work that I do in my own life to try and be mindful of them and engage them and look underneath the surface to see the roots of the weeds that are present in these stories for myself, but also so that I can be of best support in helping my clients identify their weeds. So let's go ahead and start with the idea of productivity itself. Now, I've already mentioned this is a social story, a construct that has a lot of problematic stuff around it. So as you may know, if you've listened to this podcast before, I'm a little bit of a word nerd, and I think words are powerful, and understanding the agreement under words, even if they're not like conscious agreements, conscious things we're thinking about, understanding that there is kind of an understanding about the word and when we use it, what does it mean? So productivity is the state or quality of producing something, the effectiveness of productive effort, especially in industry, measured in terms of the rate of output per unit of input. So it's very tied to production, which our society has a lot of stuff around. It ties to our economic structures. It ties to capitalism and what is valued, what is considered valuable in our society. So what is produced, how much is produced, how quickly it's produced determines the economics of it, which are tied to our financial systems, which are tied to our ability to care for ourselves, which then gets all mucked up in stories around our value. And we are only as valuable as what we can produce. Hello, Industrial Revolution and all that fun stuff that we have going on that dehumanize us, that essentially make us like we're machines. We're only as valuable as what we can produce. So this is my biggest issue. This is the biggest myth that I'd like to bust today around the idea of productivity, and that is that it matters as much as we think it does. Our society has a toxic relationship with productivity. I mean, I'll say it again. The idea that our ability to produce equals our value. What does that make you feel? What does that bring up for you? I would invite you to sit for a minute with it, because my guess is that it probably doesn't feel very aligned. But at the same time, you may also have some things come up around yes, but, and any of those yes, buts that come up, especially when I comment on the economic structures, because these are very tied to what we've been trained throughout our entire life. So it's very deeply embedded. Now, what fails to be acknowledged when we think of ourselves as machines and that our value is tied to our productivity? One, and one that is being brought up more and more, especially in feminist spaces, is that it fails to honor our cycles of productivity. I talked about rest in an early episode of this podcast and the idea that we need rest and we don't often acknowledge the value, the productivity value of rest, that resting actually can make us more productive. Time to process, time to integrate, time to assess, all of those things are not considered productive because, well, they're not the act of producing. So we don't see a product coming from those times. So they get discounted as not productive. Well, they are. There's been plenty of studies that show that they are, but this is kind of the surface level of the awareness around the toxicity over this conversation of productivity. That top level, that surface level that we can see more clearly because it's something that we can study. It's not just a concept. It's not just a question of ethics or morality or spirituality or any of that stuff. It's like scientific studies show that, but it still hasn't really filtered into what is considered when we're talking about measuring productivity. It's still how fast can you produce an output? How fast can you do the things? So we're talking about efficiency and we're talking about how much you can do. And we reward those things. We reward the abuse of ourselves, basically. Oh, I pulled an all-nighter on that one, you know, things like that. Now, that's not to say that sometimes it works to do that kind of push and that's helpful and you want to do that. But what I'm inviting is that we take the narrative out of the idea of productivity. So we take the focus off of productivity. That's going to be difficult and that's not something that I would expect individually would work as well. Like it's going to take a societal shift, but it starts with individuals doing that work to take the focus away from the idea of being productive and back to what actually motivates the first part of it, which is wanting to create. It's about creating things in the world. It's about having impact. It's about people. It's about interaction. We want to have an impact. We want to build in the world. So it may be that maybe even just the word itself has too much in it. So let's talk about the pieces of that word, the pieces of productivity and some of the things that may actually tie to what we want. You know, the idea of motivation, well, I want to do this. And a lot of times when people have like left corporate and are starting their own thing or working on finding something that they want to create or build into the world or whatever. We're talking about motivation. I don't feel motivated. Oh, I want to do the things that I want to do, my hobbies. I have time, but I'm not doing it, or I'm not making the time, excuses, all that sort of stuff, all the stories that we tell around that. Motivation is one of them. So let's look at some of the ways that the toxic idea of productivity has infiltrated motivation such that you are resistant to doing the things you even say you want to do. First and foremost, some of the things that we say that we want to do are shoulds. They're things that we were told we should do in order to, and they're not actually tied to the person that we want to be and the way that we want to experience life. It's like, you have to do this in order to get to that. I want that. But the connection, the strategy of doing this maybe isn't there. And perhaps a different strategy is needed. So that could be the missing piece. But there's a key story around this idea of productivity that we have that is used as a way to motivate, but it is actually demotivating. And that is the idea of being lazy. The big story that people are lazy, and that's why they're not doing the things. That taking a break is lazy. That if I'm not really motivated, or if I want to rest, or if I'm not doing the thing, I must not want it badly enough. Or maybe I'm just lazy. This is another way to beat yourself up. This is an internalized story that says that you're bad, that you're not good enough, that you can't really have what you want. And this is why. It is used, and it is a story that was actually perpetrated upon people and still is, to say this is why you are where you are, when oftentimes that is not the truth. But we've internalized it, and ironically, what it does is it actually kills your motivation. It drains your energy, because not only are you already drained, and that is why you are not doing the thing. So it's not that you're lazy. There is no lazy. Lazy is a made-up concept. Lazy, the things that we label as lazy, not producing, basically, are, there's a reason. There's a reason that you're not producing. And there are a variety of reasons. So this is one of the reasons for me that I was hesitant to engage this one, because there are so many reasons. But I think first and foremost, the important thing to note is that there's a reason. And oftentimes it's because you're drained. And the problem is that when you're drained, so you're not doing things, you're not being quote unquote productive, and then you tell yourself that you're lazy, it's like whipping an exhausted horse. Like, that's not going to help. You're not going to motivate yourself further. You're going to drain. Like, you're basically like slashing your tires. So not only are you not getting the recharge that you need so that you can then do the things, but you're exacerbating what's going on because you're beating yourself up at the same time. The core reason that we lack motivation, and I will remind you that there will be another episode where we dig further into motivation, because that was what I realized. It was like, we have to do this as a series. It's got to be broken up. But the core reason that I've seen that people feel like they're lacking motivation, or that this sense that they're unmotivated comes up, is that there's an underlying fear of pain. There's, or a depletion that's happening. So a resistance. It can be that there's no more. There's no more energy. It's been drained. You need a recharge. It can also be that there's a resistance stemming from this fear of either emotionally hurting someone, feeling emotionally hurt yourself. I came up recently with a client who wanted to do more exercise and was struggling with motivation. The things that she was looking at doing pulled her further away from the experience of life that she wanted. So there was resistance there. But the solution then that she came up with, there was resistance because reaching out to the person was embarrassing because of some of the circumstances that she was dealing with. So that fear of embarrassment. So pain on any level, any part of that spectrum can create resistance to doing something. Another one is that there could be a physical component to it. Another client recently was talking about wanting to walk more, but there was fear because she has a chronic illness that it would cause a flare-up. So that in the back of her mind, because when we first started talking, I was like, well, you know, she's like, I didn't do the thing. I said, okay, what stopped you? And she's like, I don't know. I just didn't do it. And we had to dig in a little bit deeper to get to the awareness that, oh, I'm actually afraid that I'm going to have a flare-up of this pain in my body. Oh, well, of course you're not going to do the thing if there's that fear there. So then we needed to set a container for an experiment to see, well, how true is that? Will that actually cause that? Well, I don't know. Okay, well, then we need to explore that. What will it take to find out? There can also be the fear of taking action that maybe you're missing something, that maybe you didn't factor something in and a painful result will occur. Like you'll end up hurting someone, you'll end up accidentally taking away from someone, you'll have made the wrong decision and have an outcome that you didn't actually want, or become someone. Maybe you achieve the thing that you want and you become someone different and you're actually less happy because that's not actually what you wanted. So all of those things can feed in. And on top of that, we are trained not to listen to ourselves. So we are out of practice knowing the difference between discomfort doing something new and our gut self-protection mechanism. And I see this come up in terms of how we phrase things, of the idea of our intuition and our gut being combined together, because people use those interchangeably, but they're really kind of different because our gut is that instinct. Our instinct is tied to survival, whereas our intuition is more spiritual. Now, we might experience it in a similar place in our body, but when you're not trained to listen to your intuition and we're stressed to the point that our survival mode is in high gear, it's much more difficult to notice the difference. And because our brain is wired to protect us, that's going to focus on the potential pain. And that is going to influence the stories that we tell in our subconscious that then grow the flowers that are the things that we see visibly, right? Like if you use the plant analogy, like the roots of the fears, and then we have the flowers of what we see. So we really have to dig in to find what is at the root of the lack of motivation. What is the story? Where is it coming from? Is it based in an experience? Is it based in a social story? Maybe a combination of things. All of that goes into influence your motivation to doing something. And it is always also influenced by this story around productivity and this push to be productive. Now let's hop over to time management. One of the big stories in time management that relates to productivity is this idea that you wasted time. I'd be curious to know, to invite you to explore, when do you tell yourself that you are wasting time, or that you have wasted time, or that time is being wasted? Where do you use that? How often do you use that? Does that come up for you? Because here's the thing, I've had it too. Like that was something that I've said, and I've certainly still said it now. It's very ingrained because, you know, what is wasting time? Well, it's not being productive. If you are not producing, then you must be wasting time. If you are not doing something that is then going to create some sort of benefit or product in some way that you can attach to, that, oh, this was useful in this way, then, well, you wasted time. And so I would like to argue that you cannot waste time. You can use it. That's it. You can only use time. You can't waste it. Now, you may use time in a way that you didn't want to use time. You may unconsciously use time. You may reactively use time. You may use time and go, oh, I did not use time in the way that I would have wanted to had I been thinking about it. But you can't actually waste it. One of the stories that people tell around this idea of time, the idea of time management, we have to manage our time. That is actually really, that's not a very expansive thought, but it's this idea that, okay, well, we all have the same 24 hours in a day. And so how you manage that time indicates how good you are, how productive you are, how productive you can be, what you can get done, how successful you can be. Ooh, I used the word. I used the word success because ultimately, really, all of this ties to that idea of success and how our idea of what is successful is influenced by these societal stories and these societal norms around what success looks like, and that it is supposed to look a certain way. It means climbing the class ladder. It means making a certain amount of money. And success in that framework very much gets tied up in productivity. And if you're not managing your time and, you know, supervising yourself and all of these very regulated words. So here's the issue with this idea of, well, we all have the same 24 hours a day, so you just need to manage your time better, is that it doesn't acknowledge that we all have different stressors in our life. We all have different things happening that influence the way we have time, because time is energy. So if you think about allocating energy, not just time, like how much time it takes to do something is going to vary based on the influences on your energy level. Imagine you're working really late. There's a point at which your productivity will go down. There's the law of diminishing returns. Well, that doesn't just relate to sleep and need for rest. It relates to all kinds of things. So looking at the number of different things that you have to do. I remember my husband at one point came home from a long day at work and I was really stressed out. I had been working a job that really wanted me over 40 hours, probably more like 60, a boss that was stressing me out, some dynamics at the company, there's commute, I had to get the kids from daycare, I was feeding them, I was trying to clean up after the cat, I was doing like all of these things. And he was like, yeah, it's like this situation at work and this long day that I had working long hours. And I was like, no. I mean, yes, you worked long hours, but we can't make this into a comparison because you were working on one thing all day. And yes, you had different things within that, and you had some relational dynamics that were stressful and all of that, but you were focused. I was doing multiple things at a time, which is a different way, a different kind of drain. So multitasking, studies have shown, is less efficient. It takes more energy. It's more draining. Your brain is switching gears all the time, which takes more effort. There are times when we need to multitask. And so, yes, you can maximize your time by reducing multitasking. But if it's needed, especially like, for example, as a parent, there are certain times where that happens, like you're cooking and your kids need your attention and whatever, all of that sort of stuff. So you can do things to reduce it, but acknowledging that it exists and when it exists and that it does take more energy is important. It does mean that it will take more time. Distractions. Again, sometimes you can mitigate those. Sometimes you can't. The weight of decisions to make takes more energy, which means that it will take more time. And it may not be noticeable time, but because it drains your energy, the law of diminishing returns applies to that too. Emotional triggers. Again, going back to, we need to normalize that emotions need space. and they take energy and they're important and valuable. And that means they take time too. Like, I can't plan grief. Nobody can plan grief. That's unreasonable. That's like, I mean, going back to, again, the productivity and expecting us to be like machines. We're not machines. So having an emotional trigger to something is normal, and it is going to take some time. So when we put this pressure on ourselves that our value is based in our ability to produce, it erases the ability to have emotions. And it's one of the reasons why the only quote-unquote valid emotion is anger, and thus it is not an emotion, is because it can be very effective in getting things done quickly. So that's why I saw a great post that was talking about, like, we've only made it so that, you know, emotions aren't valid because we've made it so that anger isn't an emotion. Well, and that's why, because anger can be productive. But is it helpful? Is it sustainable? No, it is not sustainable. So I really wish that we would change it. Like, as I'm saying this, I really wish that we would change that word productive to sustainable, that we would emphasize, and maybe not just sustainable, there's probably other words, but like, rather than focusing on what is productive, focusing on what is sustainable, I feel like would make a huge impact. I'm curious what you think about that. Like, does that word shift resonate more for you? How does that feel differently if you think about being productive versus being sustainable? I feel like that's something we're really being invited to look at, especially given our environmental concerns. But I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. Like, does that resonate? That just came up for me. So another one would be, you know, like back to the sleep thing. Also food, how much fuel and nutritious fuel do you have in your body? Pain, like my client who was worried about the pain in her body. If you have any chronic pain, if you have any kind of dynamics that create pain, it could be menstrual cramps. Another one there would be hormones, which relates to cycles of productivity. Our hormones have an impact on that, how reactive we are, how emotional, because we're being invited to do different things. We're being invited to look and value and honor and engage different things that really embrace the holistic experience of being human, not just being a machine. And finally, connectedness, support, encouragement. I know that there's this big push around the idea that we need to be able to validate ourselves and we don't need external validation. And it is important. We don't want to not have that internal validation, but external validation, external support, encouragement, a sense of being connected with other people is really important. And without that, we do drain energy. Things can take longer. Anybody else get stuck spinning in their head sometimes? That can take up time. Whereas if you had support and you knew that you had a safety net of people, you might take less time. You might feel less fear or fear of insecurity, fear of failure, of rejection, if you knew that you would have support if you did fall down. So these are just some things to think about. Like, as you start engaging this idea of productivity, and if this is something that you were like, yes, I want to know more about productivity, and you jumped on here and you were like, what? I would love for you to explore this further for yourself and see what came up for you within that. Because, you know, going to like that idea of time management, just because you maximized your time suitcase, like all the time that you packed, like you managed your time well, it doesn't mean that you packed what you really want or what will actually serve you best where you're going. So we have to go beyond that surface level. And we also need to look at like what plants are you growing within those concepts. So perhaps those words are words that we need to consider shifting, or at least acknowledging the pests that come along with them, as it were, going back to the plant analogy, like the societal pests that infest those words, to be aware of them so that we can nurture the plants that we want to nurture without, and not just spray them with pesticide, because that may also kill the plant. So anyway, some of the things that are really important that you actually need when it comes to this experience of life that you want, like a sustainable ability to take action and create what you want. And as you may notice, I'm moving away from that word productivity. The first is clarity, understanding where your energy is currently going and where you want it to go. Having a plan, a strategy that honors you holistically, you know, all of those pieces that I talked about that influence the amount of time you have, i.e. the amount of energy you have. And this is something that's very present for anyone who has a chronic illness or any different way of functioning. That, I mean, all of this really ties a lot into ableism and a lot of the related dynamics that are very harmful to people and people being real people, human beings, you know. So having a plan, a strategy that honors you holistically, not just your ability and your knowledge, but your emotional and spiritual self, your whole self. And then taking action. And that requires also like not telling yourself the stories that sabotage you, and not just the stories that you're told are the ones that are sabotaging you, but the stories that are underneath those, that are the societal stories that are sabotaging you being a human being and not just a machine. Some other podcast episodes that you might want to listen to if you're like, I need more, and the next episode hasn't come out yet, where we're going to be talking about what's killing your motivation, you might go back and listen to Making Decisions I Can Trust, More Self-Control Is Not Always the Answer, and Dealing with Burnout Beyond the 9-to-5, as well as some of the coaching episodes. Now, if you're like, okay, I need to dig into this more, and you would like to do a coaching session, I do have spots open to do a recorded coaching session. So if you wanted to be on the podcast, I do keep it as anonymous as possible without altering your voice. But if you wanted to be on the podcast, that's an option. You are welcome to apply for one of those spots. If you're like, nope, definitely need to do some coaching work around this, let's chat. I like to have an exploration call first, make sure that we are a good fit to work together and see what's going on for you. Even if we're not a good fit to work together, I may have some resources for you. So grab a spot on my calendar for an exploration call. I would love to support you. And I do have two different ways we can do that. I have private coaching and I also have group coaching, both of which we dig into these things and find what's going on for you so that you can start making and creating what you want in your life from a more powerful, more centered, holistic space of motivation and enjoyment and fulfillment and all of that fun stuff. So if that's of interest, grab that spot on my calendar. I would love to chat with you. Finally, if you're like, Val, I have a quick question. I just want to send you a message, but I want to be anonymous. I have created a form for you so that you can hop on and send me a quick message, whether it is something that you want me to talk about on the podcast related to motivation, related to time management. If it's those, definitely send that ASAP so that I can fit it in the next two episodes. But if it is anything, you're welcome to ask me anything. So just go to valeriefriedlander.com/askval and send me your question or a topic that you want me to cover on the podcast. I am all ears. And I will talk to you all next time. Thanks for listening. I so appreciate you being here. If you got something out of today's episode, please share it. Leave me a review, take a screenshot and post it on social with a shout out to me. Send it to a friend or, you know, all of the above. Want to hang out more? Join me on Instagram. Or better yet, get on my mailing list to make sure you don't miss out on anything. And remember, your possibilities are as unlimited as you are. Allow yourself to shine, my friend. The world needs your light. See you next time.